Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Ads, turn to your neighbor and tell them desperation will cause you to do crazy things. Amen. You may be seated. Where are all the dads at? Just wave your hand at me real quick if you're a dad in the room today. If you feel so inclined, make a little noise. Just hoop and holler a little bit if you're a dad. Appreciate that. If you have a great dad, make some noise. Come on. Yeah, Living Way's full of incredible men, great dads. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. Oh, great, another Father's Day message. Yes, it is a Father's Day message, but it's more than that. It's for anyone that is desperate for God to move. To move in your children, your family, your marriage, your life. And if you are not a dad, you can take out the word dad in the title, and it could be a desperate mom in the house today. A desperate believer, a desperate disciple, a desperate husband, a desperate wife. Just a desperate believer that you are wanting God to move in your life like never before. There are so many issues in our culture today, church, that are present because great fathers are not present. Let me say that again. There are so many issues, negative issues in our culture today that are present because great fathers are not present. 24.7 million children in America will go to bed tonight without a biological father, a stepfather, or an adoptive father in their home. That's one out of every three children you see every day. One out of every three will go home to a home with a grandmother, a mother, an auntie, but no men. The absence of a father in the home increases so many issues. These are statistics pulled from 2018, so I would say that through the pandemic and other things that these have actually grown. A young person that grows up without a father in the house is four times greater risk for poverty. More likely to have behavioral problems like ADD, ADHD, defiant disorder. They are more likely to go to prison and more likely to commit more crime if they do not have a father present. They are seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen without a father. Say, why is that? Because young women are looking for the love of a man. And instead of finding the first love in their father, they start looking for love in all the wrong places in junior high and in high school. They're more likely to face abuse and neglect without dad around. More likely to abuse drugs and alcohol without dad around. Twice as likely to drop out of high school without a dad present. Currently, 85% of young people who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home. 85%. 85 out of every 100 did not have a dad. You say, well, a dad wouldn't solve all of those problems. A dad would solve a lot of those problems. Children who live in a single-parent home are more than two times likely to commit suicide than children who live in a two-parent house. Here's one that shocked me. 75% of rapists are motivated by displaced anger that is associated with having abandonment issues from their father. A father, these are our secular statistic, church. These statistics say that a father living in the house changes things. Just a dad. It doesn't say a Christian dad. Doesn't say a faith-filled, spirit-filled dad. It just said if there's a dad in the house when those kids get home, it changes things. However, church, imagine what a father who leads his house would do. A man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, a worshiper, an intercessor, a protector, a teacher, a provider. Imagine what that man could produce in his children and generations to come. A lot of what we just talked about in these children have societal impact. Imagine how we could change society if we could just get dads to be dads. So we're talking about desperate dads like Jairus. Desperate means having an urgent need or desire. It's an emergency. It is an emergency, church, that we don't have dads in the homes. But it is a tragic emergency that we have some dads in the home that refuse to be fathers, that refuse to lead in spirit, that refuse to be their kids' leader and parental figure and not their friend. This is an urgent need. It is an emergency. Desperate means making a final effort. It means an ultimate effort. It means giving all. I know that there are many dads who sacrifice their money to see their kids do well. They sacrifice time and money to make sure that they can play select ball and travel teams and all of those things have their place. But when was the last time that we as dads gave our all to see our kids find Jesus like we found him? When was the last time that we rearranged our schedule to make sure that our kids found Jesus and had a moment with God that would mark them for eternity? I'm talking to the desperate ones in the house today. I'm talking to the ones that can't wait for January 1st to make New Year's resolutions. I'm talking to the ones that if God doesn't move in June, you might not have it in July. I'm talking to the parents that can't wait until they're 18, but at 13, 14, 15, you need God to show up. Desperation will cause us to do crazy things. Number one, desperation causes us to do things we would never ordinarily do. Are you desperate for God to work in your family? Are you desperate for God to move in this church? Are we desperate for God to move in culture? If we are, it requires us to do things that we would normally not do. It is what we call going the extra mile, not just what is required of us, but digging in and saying, God, whatever you need on days other than Sunday, I'm your man, I'm your woman. If it takes me digging in on the backside like David did before the Goliath shows up, then I'm your man. It means exhausting every resource. I've seen fathers and mothers exhaust every resource to put their kids in rehab. I've seen fathers and mothers take out quick loans with 24% interest to bail their kids out of jail. Why is it that we only exhaust every resource after they have already fallen and are in trouble, when if we would exhaust every resource when they're 2 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache, time, and money because we are giving all up front. We are exhausting every. I know you're tired on Wednesday night, but get those kids to Catalyst Kids Church. I know Saturdays there's barbecues and birthday parties and all of those things, but every other Saturday, get them next door to Catalyst Youth. I know $275 is a lot, but do everything you can to send them to summer camp. But more than those three things that I've just mentioned, wake up every day talking to them about God, teaching them to pray, having home devotions, pointing them to Jesus. Exhaust every resource when they're young, and you won't have to exhaust every resource when they're old. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Desperation causes us to go farther than we've ever gone. Desperation. We're in a day now where desperation is beginning to take over. And I want us to become desperate about the things of God. And maybe you're not raising children. Maybe it's just you. Maybe you're a young career single at 24 years old. I want to encourage you at 24 without a spouse and kids. What a great time to be desperate. What a great time to buckle down and say, God, I'm not responsible for anybody else but me. And so, God, I'm going to make sure that everything you have for me, that I get it, that every word you have to say to me, I write it down, I get it in my spirit, and I live it. Let's go to our original text, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." You know what I love about this? Because this encourages me, because a lot of us here on Sunday mornings, we get desperate. But a lot of people don't understand our desperation because they weren't at home with us. A lot of people, I'm sure, in this moment, there's a crowd around Jesus. They're wanting to touch Jesus. They're wanting to talk to Jesus. They're pressing in around him. This crowd is growing. But there's one man that pushes through the crowd, falls at the feet of Jesus, and begins to beg and plead for Jesus to come to his house. I'm sure that a lot of people say that's too much. I'm sure a lot of people say that's too radical. But what they did not know is the home situation he left before he came to Jesus. Living Way is a church that you can get as radical as you want in your expression for your need of Jesus. We've got a lot of rooms in this building. If you get too loud, we can take you to another room to receive Jesus. But if you are living in a situation where death is at your doorstep, where the enemy is trying to take your kids or end your marriage, where you feel like you are going crazy and that depression and suicide have taken over, this is the house for you to find Jesus. The reason we worship is to get Jesus in the room. The reason we praise is to get Jesus in the room. And then when Jesus gets in the room, it is your time to say, "God, I've been waiting for this moment." I love Jairus. If you're writing notes, write this down. Jairus had faith that would travel. Do you have faith that works outside Living Way? Do you have faith that works outside the hours of 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.? Do you have faith that works when all of your Christian friends are at their jobs and their house and it's just you and a bunch of hellions at your job? I want faith that travels beyond the campus at Living Way. My dad used to watch an old show called Have Gun, Will Travel. Means I'm available and I'm up for anything. I'm ready to go. Let's do it. Church, when we leave this building, we should leave like Jairus left his house. I've got enough faith that I'm going to go and find Jesus. I'm going to make sure that Jesus hears from me. I got a daughter that is on death's door, but I know a Jesus that is the resurrection. I know that there's a Jesus that if I can get to him, I know he can get to me. I have faith and I will travel. Let me encourage you, your faith works just as good at the grocery store as it does it all at the altar call. Your faith, your worship is just as powerful on a Monday afternoon as it is on a Sunday morning. My faith is not stuck at Living Way. My faith will not let me stay where I am. My faith presses me beyond where I'm comfortable. You know how I know he had faith? The Bible says, and Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there. I don't want to take time to go through this entire story, but verses 25 through verses 34, we meet the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus was on his way to heal this young woman who was sick. Jairus' daughter was laid up at the point of death, and Jesus said, "Let's go to your house, Jairus, and heal her." And on the way to his house, a woman with the issue of blood stopped Jesus. We know the story. She reaches out. She touches the hem of his cloak. Healing power and virtue came from that hem, just at the mere touch of Jesus, flowed into this woman with the issue of blood that had been suffering for 12 years. She was healed. Jesus and her have a dialogue. "Who touched me?" The disciples, they're trying to put their spin on it. Jesus talks to this woman, says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Here's something else about Jairus' faith. Not only did it travel, his faith was patient. Mama, your prayers are working. Keep praying. Dad, your example is working. Keep being the example. Keep bringing them to church. Keep praying over them. Keep anointing their rooms. Keep sitting down and having devotions with them. Keep pointing them to Jesus. You say, well, I thought it was going to work like this. The best things in life take time. And patience, the Bible says in James, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith, the time that it takes your faith to produce, it produces patience, and when patience has her perfect work, you will be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. Jairus had faith that was patient. Most people, and I would fall into this camp, most people reading this story, Jairus has left his house. His daughter is at death's door, and he finally gets to Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, I'm coming home with you. I've got good news. It's not on my notes, but God just reminded me, Jesus makes house calls. He doesn't just show up at Living Way. If you need him to show up at your house, he'll show up at your house, your work, your shop, your school, wherever you need him to be. He said, wherever I need to be, wherever somebody wants me there, that's where I'll show up. We keep asking things like, where is God in these school shootings, and why wasn't God there? Very simple. Years ago, we asked him to leave the school. We asked him to leave government. We asked him to leave. That's why it's corrupt. That's why we have the problems we have. But as for me and my house, I invite Jesus into everything. Jesus, I'm making some money decisions. I need you to weigh in. Jesus, I'm making some family decisions. I need you to weigh in. Jesus, my marriage is a little off kilter. Maybe it's me, maybe it's her, but I need you. I invite you in to what I'm going through. So most people in Jairus' position, or that had been an eyewitness, they would feel slighted, neglected, ignored, and would feel like this woman with the issue of blood had cut in line or had taken this spot. This is a rhetorical question, so I don't want you to raise your hands, but have you ever been praying for something for a long time, and you know somebody else needed something and have been praying for a short time, and they have their prayer answered before yours? We've been there before. Have you ever seen someone who you thought was less faithful than you get their breakthrough before you? Oh, I was getting quiet. Have you ever had to fix your face during testimony service because they got theirs before you? They hadn't been at Living Way as long as you. They hadn't been saved as long as you. If I was Jairus, that is how I would be like, hold on now. You've been suffering for 12 years. You can suffer for another couple hours. It's easy to say when it's not your issue. Because she could say, I've been suffering for 12 years. Your daughter's been sick for a couple days. She could be sick for another couple hours. It's always easier when it's not your issue. But I'm so grateful that we serve a God that doesn't have to pick and choose how he moves, who he heals, when he breaks through. He can move over here. He can move over here. He can work financial over here. He can save someone's soul over here. He can baptize someone in the spirit over here. He can restore relationships here. He can reconcile families here, all in the same moment, all in the same word, all with the same move of the Spirit of God. I am here to tell you, it doesn't matter who gets to go first, because at the end of this day, the woman with the issue of blood was healed, and the damsel, Jairus' daughter, was brought back to life. I'm not going to hate you when you're blessed. I'm just going to say, thank God for blessing them. I'm next. And if he does it for me, I'm going to follow him to your house and say, hey, he just did it for me, and he'll do it for you too. I've been saying it the last 18 months. The older I get, the more I want everybody to win. I want Cornerstone to be blessed. I want Community Bible to be blessed. I want New Creation to be blessed. I want the 100 little storefront churches that I don't know their name. I want them to be blessed. Getting ready to do VBS. Cornerstone just had their VBS last week, 2 weeks ago. 3,000 kids. 600 volunteers. That doesn't make me not want to do ours. Well, my God, we're not going to have that much. It's going to matter to the kids that we have VBS for. I told that to one of my pastor friends. And man, he was so negative. And I'm like, man, how can you be negative after Uvalde? Well, we got 3,000 kids worshiping Jesus, filling a monster sanctuary. I said, oh, God, I hope every one of them's filled with the Holy Spirit. I hope those 3,000 win 3,000 each. I hope each one of those kids is a lighthouse and a beacon of hope, light, and faith for their school year this coming year, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that what is happening, that I want to see everybody win. I want the issues of blood dried up. I want the dead to be resurrected. I don't care what order God does it in. I just want God to do it. We are here at Living Way, and we serve a God that will do anything. But I'm here to tell you, the more desperate you are, the more desperate your faith becomes. It jumps you to the front of the line. And I want to encourage somebody, quit being that person that is always willing to step to the side and say, God, I've been waiting long enough, and today is my day. Praise team, if you'll come. Maybe Jairus needed a boost of faith in this moment. Maybe Jairus needed to see Jesus work this miracle in the woman with the issue of blood. Let's not look at it as a negative, church. Let's look at it as a positive. Maybe Jairus' faith had been waning. Maybe Jairus was tired because of what he had been fighting. And God said, I'm going to show you what Jesus is capable of. Maybe watching someone else get theirs would help him get his. See, when I see you blessed, I don't turn up my nose. It increases my faith that what God has done for you, he will do for me. Verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. They said, why bother the teacher anymore? Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. One translation says, doubt not, believe only. Don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus, did you not hear what they just said? It's over. She's dead. There's no reason for you to go. There's nothing else you can do. And it's the same setup of Lazarus that I'm thinking Jairus is thinking. If you had been here, if you had gone when we were supposed to go, if you hadn't stopped to heal the woman with the issue of blood, all, but now this miracle is not just him healing the sick. Now this miracle is him raising the dead. Can I just encourage somebody? It's going to take you to think outside of baby faith. This is like a master's class in theology for the next 60 seconds on your faith. Are you willing to wait another hour if it means the miracle is bigger? Are you willing? Are you willing to wait another day if it means that more people are going to be exposed to not a healing power, but a resurrecting power? I've come to tell God, God, I'd love for you to move on this day, June 19th. But God, if you want to wait another week, if it means that healing is going to turn to resurrection, I can deal with it another week. God, if it means my family is going to be exposed to resurrection, I can deal with it another day. Jairus had faith that overruled fear. Don't be afraid, just believe. They're at the house, and Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw commotion. He saw people crying, wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, and he put them all out. Jairus had faith that allowed Jesus to clear the house. Sometimes Jesus lets us decide what has to go. But sometimes Jesus says, you're not in an emotional place where you can decide who needs to stay and who needs to go. Jesus cleared the room. It was just Peter, James, John, Jesus, the Jairus, his wife, and the dead girl. Jesus cleared the house. What is it in your life that you've been holding on to? And you say, well, I can't let go of it. That's when Jesus comes in, because you can't let go. Jesus said, I'll clear it for you. I'll send them out. Have you ever wondered how that person was disconnected from your life when you didn't have to say it? You didn't have to do anything. That was Jesus himself disconnected and saying, no, you've got to go. Why? Because resurrection's about to happen, and you've been mocking, you've been laughing, and you've been doubting, but I'm about to get all of that out of the house. Why? Because a desperate dad showed up. The people weren't desperate, just the dad was desperate. The mom was desperate. He cleared the room of everybody who was not desperate. Normal people, stand on your feet today, will never understand desperate people. I know we've talked a lot about camp today. I'm going to keep going back to it because it's so fresh in my mind. I stood in a building, 231 people. 111 were filled with the Holy Ghost. That number's greater than 111. That's just what we counted. That was just the third day. There's a lot more church and service after that. Stood in the middle of a room. I'm talking about Book of Acts laid out on the floor, on their backs, on their face for hours. We dismissed service, 9:45, 10 o'clock, midnight. They're still in there crying out to God. I mean, lights on. No more live music, just iPod playing. And they're just, and Brother Charlie, you and I know that's Book of Acts. We're introducing a brand new generation to the Book of Acts, the Holy Ghost. And I stood there and I was so excited. And then I had this sobering thought. Most camps in America, which represent most youth churches, which represent most churches in America, will never have that kind of service in any of their churches. Not only will they not have it, they would never allow it. But I'm so grateful that there is 111 desperate young people that God said, hey, let's leave mom and dad at home for 5 days. Hey, let's leave your best friend back in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas for a few days. Let's just get unity in the room. Let's just get faith in the room. Let's just get hope in the room. Let's just get Jesus in the room. And let's see what will happen. We found out what happens when it's only desperate people in the room. When it's only desperate people in the room, Holy Spirit begins to fall. Holy Ghost begins to move. Addictions are broken. He said, Jesus cleared the house. Jesus cleared everybody. It's Jesus, three disciples, mom and dad, and the dead girl. Jesus speaks to her and says, damsel, wake up. Get up. Don't you love that Jesus, after he gets the desperation of a father, there's not some big grand moment where it's in front of the town, she's laying on an altar. Jesus just walks into the bedroom and says, hey, psst, wake up. Wake up. Sometimes the resurrections of your life are not going to be on Main Street. He's just going to say, wake up. Your desperation, it brought me here. Mom and dad's desperation brought me here. Your prayers brought me here. Your faith brought me here. I'm wondering if there's any desperate people in the house today. I'm wondering if there's any fathers or mothers that want to come stand in the gap for your children. I'm wondering if there's a desperate husband or a desperate wife saying, I need God to do something. I'm wondering if there's somebody desperate for a healing. I'm wondering if there's anybody desperate for a breakthrough, desperate for an addiction to be broken. Praise God. Jesus cleared the house. The last thing he said, and I'm out of time, is this. He said, hey, give her something to eat. Jesus commanded that Jairus feed his daughter. Faith always feeds children. Faith always feeds your children. Faith always feeds your faith. Faith always feeds that divine God part of you. If you're in this altar already, I just want you to lift your hands and I want you to begin to say, God, I'm desperate. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for a move. I'm desperate for a word. God, I came here today and I know it's Father's Day and I know there's a lot of things planned, but God, I'm desperate. There's some things that I can only get from you, so I've come to you today. There are some things, God, that I can't get anywhere else, and so I'm desperate for you. Like the woman with the issue of blood, I've tried everything else, but here I am today. I'm desperate. I want to encourage, before we start praying, I'm going to ask our altar workers to go ahead and spread out and start laying hands. They can go ahead and start praying right now, but I'm going to encourage those of you, you're standing in the altar. You're standing in the gap for a son or a daughter that is not living for God yet, that is not serving God yet. I want to encourage and speak to your desperation. I want you to start acting in your life like you would if they were a toddler getting ready to run out across the freeway. You'd rush out to them screaming. You would be desperate to make sure that they're okay. Let your spirit man and your faith man become that desperate, doing whatever you can and then letting God make up the difference. Doing the impossible, but letting God do the impossible. Dad and mom, keep praying. Dad and mom, keep being desperate. Let desperation cause you to wake up at 2 a.m. and pray. Let desperation cause you to wake up at 4 a.m. and intercede for that son or that daughter or that situation. Maybe it's not a son or daughter. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's something going on in mom and dad or siblings. Let desperation, like Jairus, cause your faith to move. Cause your faith to be patient in the process. Cause your faith to allow Jesus to clear your life.